Be turning to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 again. We're going to explore the grace of God, and in particular the aspect of grace that Paul was referring to here. And the reason that I can't get away from this right now myself is right before Dave went into this seeking time, you know, he was teaching a little bit. He started on the grace of God, and I'm really eager to hear the rest of it. But he said, he's talking about Paul here and how he was being persecuted because of the abundance of his revelations. And you know, we start off in Mark 4 where Jesus was teaching. You don't have to turn there. Let me just quickly catch you up and get our minds going down that path so we're all together. In Mark 4, Jesus said, "The sower sows the word. Some are by the wayside where the word is sown. Immediately, Satan steals it from them. But one of them says, because they understood it not." Well, when you don't understand the word, you can't apply it. So it's easy to forget it. But see, the next one is those that were received it on stony ground. But they understood it, and it says they received it with gladness. Received it with gladness, but it says, yet they had no root in themselves, so they endured for a season. But when persecution or affliction comes, for the word's sake. Now, that's not talking about the word you don't understand. It's talking about the word you do understand. Let's say it this way. It's the word you have a revelation of. So at first, once you have a revelation of it, then the first application is you begin to apply it to your own life and walk in the light of it yourself. But then the next level is where you begin to be what I call a light bearer. You begin becoming that treasure and earthen vessel that has the light of the gospel, the light of revelation now on the inside of you. And you start carrying that into dark places. And that dark place could be Africa, could be Asia, could be the person working next to you where you work. Travis gave testimony, you know, horseshoeing and the rodeos. And that dark place may be the stall right next to you, you know, where another cowboy is, if he hadn't heard the gospel yet. When you start doing that, then that's when Jesus said, affliction and persecution are coming, not so much just because of you, but it's for the word's sake. It's because of your revelation of the word and what you're doing with it. Well, then we see the epitome of that in Jesus' life first. I mean, he's really our example. Did Jesus get persecuted anywhere for giving his revelation of the word? For crying out loud. They tried to throw him off the brow of the hill. They were going to kill him, you know. They were waiting. They expected him to come and raise up Lazarus before he died. You know, he was sick. They expected him to come, lay his hands on him and heal him. So the Jews were lying in wait to kill Jesus. And that's why the Holy Spirit gave him instruction not to go. And he waited two more days until Lazarus died. Well, then the Jews, they go, well, he's not coming. I guess we can go home, you know. So they dispersed, and then the Holy Spirit says, now go. I'm looking for that level of leadership myself. See, I mean, you know and I know that if any of us were walking in a mantle, where you were in an anointing, where you know that you know every single time you lay your hands on the sick, they recover 100% of the time. And your best friend is sick, and you get word of it, and you're in a different town, and they say, if you'll come. Now, how many? I'm not going to ask how many. I don't know that Gary is yet at the place where I wouldn't just head towards my friend's house to get him healed. But see, there's a leadership that comes by the Holy Ghost. Remember, Jesus laid down his divinity. He is operating as a person with the Spirit of God on the inside, walking in mortal flesh on the outside. With the infilling of the Holy Spirit, he's operating exactly in the mode that he is our pattern. He is the mark that we are pressing toward. And there is a leadership where even on the most basic things, if my best friend is sick, I have an anointing to heal, I'm going to go heal, and the Holy Spirit says, wait 2 days. But if I wait 2 days, he'll die. And even then, you trust the Holy Spirit enough, because then 2 days later it says, oh, we'll just go raise him from the dead. Oh, simple. We have a little renewing of the mind yet. Anyway, that's not the message today. So anyway, they tried to persecute. In other words, they did persecute Jesus. They tried to kill him and do all those things. And what did he say? If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you too. And so, but he says plainly, for the abundance of my revelations, the abundance of the revelations that he had of the mysteries of the kingdom of God, he had become such a dangerous person to the devil's camp. I mean, everywhere that Paul went, revival broke out. He would go into pagan places. I mean, from what I've read about Corinth, it was a naval town. I deliver trucks to naval cities. They're usually where I deliver those trucks is down by the docks. That's a rough area down there. You know, there's a lot of bars, strip clubs, every kind of vice and thing you can imagine. Corinth was a very pagan city, worshiped pagan gods. So who does God send? How about Paul? Paul would go into these places and bring the light of the gospel, and no matter what they did. I mean, one time they stoned him, and these were people who, see, we're not accustomed to stoning in our lives. These were people who were accustomed to it, and they thought he was dead. Whether he was or not, I don't know. But he had to be pretty bad. The disciples gather around him, raises him up. He says, well, let's go preach the gospel some more. God couldn't be stopped. Well, you can read in chapter 11. So what happened? Well, the devil assigns Satan assigns a particularly nasty devil. It's called a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan. A messenger of Satan sent to do what? Buffet me. Persecution and affliction. Why? Because of the abundance of the revelation. So this devil, you can read in chapter 11. Everything in the world, from natural disasters, storms and shipwrecks and night and a day in the deep. You know, one thing for sure, you didn't want to get on the same ship as Paul. You know? But God kept delivering him out of these. Five times he received 39 stripes. Three times he said, beaten with rods. Now, if you look that up, that was not an uncommon thing in those days. They would put you, I mean, the idea was to stop you from traveling, because they would put your feet in the stocks and they would take whatever rods they thought necessary and they would beat your feet and break the bones in your feet. The idea being, travel was mostly by walking in those days. You're not going to the next town from here with that message at all. We're stopping your ministry. So what had to happen? God had to heal the bones in his feet three times. We're starting to think about that grace that is sufficient, see? Well, Paul, I thank God he was human. He prayed like I pray. Oh, God, get this off me. God, get this off me. Anyone ever pray like that? It's only me and Red. Oh, God, get this off me. Let's read it now, 7, 8, and 9. Lest I should be exalted. And he's talking about his ministry, the ministry that he had of carrying the gospel. God wanted Paul's ministry expanded as far as it could go. Paul was even thinking about going to Spain. I don't think he ever made it. So God's trying to exalt the man's ministry, and the devil's trying to stop it. So he says, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me. That devil, not only shipwrecks and storms, it says, everywhere he went, he stirred up the religious folk. Trust me, you're going to get, you little tongue-talking, devil-casting-out bunch, you're going to get some persecution from some religious folks. They're going to call you everything but a Christian, especially when the power of God really shows up. You know, they tried to put Jesus on a cross. Guess what? They're coming after you, too. They're going to try and crucify you, too. Yeah. So everywhere Paul would go, the religious folks would get all stirred up. And it didn't matter. Sometimes it'd be the Jews. Sometimes it'd be the pagans. You ever notice that in the book of Acts? Yeah. Hey, the people, you know, what? Great as Diana. Wasn't it Diana? Great as the goddess Diana. So it wasn't just the religious, you know, on the Jewish side. It was a religion of any kind, any religion. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. And here he's human. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. Make the persecution stop. God, make the affliction stop. Anyone ever pray like that? And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now let's stop for a moment. I don't know how long it took. Because we're so carnally minded, maybe it's just me. I'm going, well, why wouldn't God stop it? And then it finally hit me. Wait a minute. The only way God could answer it, basically, Paul didn't use these words, but he's basically saying, would it be okay if I don't have any more trouble with the devil? That's really what he's asking. Well, how is that? How could God have answered that? See, until the devil is thrown in that lake of fire, till it's over, trust me, he's trouble. The only way God could have answered that I can see is two ways. One, Paul could die and to depart and be with the Lord is far better. He could die and go on to heaven. Or he could quit doing what he's doing. He could quit his ministry. I told you about Sue and I tried to draw a truce with the devil for 5 years. We got real hurt and disappointed in the church. And so we didn't say these words out loud, but as I look back on it, our basic attitude was, okay, we're just going to be nice little Christians now. We're going to be little home Christians. Anyone ever be a home Christian? In other words, I just want to go to heaven now. I'm not going to try and, I'm not going to try and win this city. I'm not going to try and go for revival. I just want to make it to heaven now. Well, we found out after 5 years, he still only knows one thing in three parts. And that's steal, kill, and destroy. He still tried to kill us. No mercy. There is no mercy in that rascal at all. So we, that's when we started attending here. I'll tell you again. I don't know if anyone, there probably is, but we were two pretty devastated people. Pretty destroyed, spirit, soul, and body. When we walked through the doors of this church the first time. You came too late to tell me this message does not work. We've been healed in every area. Our whole family is saved. Everybody's serving the God. Nobody on drugs. Nobody drinking. Nobody running around. Not bragging on us. I'm bragging on the Lord. It's the Lord. Thank God for God. And thank God for the truth of this message that has come to maturity. Thank God for it. Well, anyway, right before Dave went into the seeking time, he was talking about this, and he says, if Paul received this kind of a persecution because of the abundance of his revelations, and what we're seeking here, is revelation. He didn't say it like that. Enemy might. He just said it this way. Gary, we better understand this grace. Whatever God meant there when he said, my grace is sufficient for you. See, because God couldn't really answer Paul's prayer without either taking him off the planet or taking him out of the ministry. And Paul didn't want either one of those things. And you don't either. We want to finish our course. We want to find our calling and walk in it so that on that day we hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, don't we? Well, if we're going to do that, the devil's not going to leave us alone either. And we better understand this grace that God says is sufficient for you. All right, now, let's talk of what does he really mean by that? Well, that's been what we've been looking at this whole time. One of the aspects we've already talked about, really what that grace is, what God is telling Paul is what he's telling us. The same nature that I put in my son. The same thing that enabled him to endure the cross and despise the shame. That same strength of character, that same nature, I have put it on the inside of you. That's not the only grace either. That's just part of it. He's also given us the Holy Spirit, who is our counselor, who is our guide, who, if we'll listen to him, will cause us. I'm not saying it'll be a life of roses any more than Paul's, You may have, maybe times you have to endure some things. But see, Paul says at the beginning of this letter, he says, one thing we learned. We learned not to trust in ourselves, but in the living God who quickens the dead. We're going to have to learn to trust in Him. So I want to look at this grace a little more. That was the review. Go to 1 Corinthians 14. You can put a marker in Acts 26. Because I want to look at this grace, several more aspects of it. And the verse I want to look at is verse 10. Here in 1 Corinthians 15. But I hate to do anything anymore without context. Let's just start in verse 1 of chapter 15. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. That right there will mess with a lot of once saved, always saved, by the way. But anyway, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. Now, don't get me wrong, I believe getting saved, staying saved, serving Jesus with all your life until you go to be with Him. Trust me, though, the devil will take you back anytime you want him. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that He was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that He was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, He was seen of me. He was seen of me also as one born out of due time. Now get this. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. We want to look at that in a minute. Do you know how far he persecuted it? He says he persecuted it unto death. We don't know how many Christians died because of Paul before his experience on the Damascus Road. He was present at Stephen's stoning, and it says he was giving his consent. You'll see why here in a minute when we go to the book of Acts. Now here's our verse. I said all that to get to this one, verse 10. Now let's read 9 and 10 again. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, meaning it could have been. It could have been. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Now get this. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me, not in me. Now up till this point, we've pretty much talked about the grace of God that is in you. And what I mean by that is the strength and power of the new nature. There is a strength of, see, our tendency is to say, I'm just so weak, I can't do it, I can't do it. You know, I think about Jesus, aren't you glad He didn't climb down off of the cross halfway through it and said, let them all go to hell, I can't take this anymore. See, and we tend to think we are that way, but in truth, the truth is, you're not that way. You have the grace of God on the inside of you, and you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. But now he's talking about the grace of God that was with me. Grace in you. And now he's talking about grace that's with you. Well, let's look at that a little bit. Go over to Acts 26. Now this is where Paul is making his defense. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify, that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus Christ. Now, he's talking about before he got saved. Now, pay attention. This is Paul before his experience on the road to Damascus. I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which things I also did in Jerusalem. And many of the saints did I shut up in prison. Many of the saints. Now I want you to get a picture of Paul. We go through these things too quickly. He was the terrorist of his day against Christianity. He would come seek you out. If you found out you were a Christian, let's say you were having home meetings in your house, Paul was the one that was, he was on the lookout for you. He had spies, no doubt, all through the camp, all through Jerusalem. Boy, I'll tell you one thing, if you was a Christian, there's one knock on the door you never wanted to get. And that was from Paul. So he says, many of them, I shut up in prison, he himself, having received authority from the chief priests, and notice this, and when they were put to what? When they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. Now you know why it says at the stoning of Stephen, a young man there named Saul, holding their coats, gave his consent. Paul was the persecutor. And I punished them often in every synagogue. And I compelled them to blaspheme. Just this morning, I was reading in the... I subscribe to the Voice of the Martyrs magazine. I think it's really good to help keep you balanced when this prosperity gospel is going out so strong. Just this morning, I read about a young lady. China, this one. Arrested in a home meeting in her early 30s, put in prison. Now picture Paul. That's exactly what he did. Things haven't changed. And they tortured her to get her to recant, turn away from, renounce the name of Jesus. They had a document prepared for her to sign. All she had to do to make the torture stop was sign her name. And she refused. And they tortured her some more. And she refused. And they tortured her unto death. And she's with Jesus now. Paul was the torturer. We think so often about the Paul that we know of who wrote the epistles. We don't think about the man before he got saved. Sue and I, before we got saved, we paid for an abortion one time. We were raised in the modern culture. This young lady had got pregnant out of wedlock. And we thought it was the right thing to do. paid for it, didn't think really much about it at the time, just thought it was the right thing to do. Years later, we get saved, get baptized in the Holy Ghost, start getting our mind renewed, learn that we were murderers. Now see, one thing about when you know you're going to hell, it's one thing when you don't know. But boy, when you know you're guilty of murder, and there is no hope for you unless someone, I mean, you're going to suffer forever in eternal damnation and hellfire. There's no hope. There's nothing you can do. You can't buy your way out of it. You can't work your way out of it. There is no negotiating with the death sentence. You are guilty and you will burn. And somebody comes and says, I will pay the price for them. I will suffer the punishment they deserve. You let them go free. And when that happens, and you know it's real, your life belongs to that person. I mean, it belongs to them. And as I know how I feel just over that one death, I can't imagine what Paul felt like. How many did he put to death? How many, I don't know how many years that went on. But can you imagine? And then he has this experience that he describes here. So let me read 10 and 11 again. Which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them often in every synagogue, and I compelled them to blaspheme. He was the one standing there signing the paper. No, I'm going to compel you to sign the paper. You will blaspheme the name of Jesus, or I'm going to torture you some more. I compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. It wasn't enough for him just in Jerusalem. He wanted to kill them all. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, notice how he phrases this. Who art thou, Lord? He doesn't yet even know who this is, but whoever that is, that's Lord. And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest, but rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Here it goes. Would you say that Paul had received revelation? So as soon as he changes his life, and then he begins carrying the light, it tells you what he's doing here. He was at Damascus, so first he began preaching at Damascus, then at Jerusalem, and throughout all the coasts of Judea. Here we go. He not only walking in the light of it himself, but carrying it now to all these places. Sure enough, here comes persecution and affliction for the revelation, for the word's sake. And they sought to kill me. Now I want you to notice, verse 22. Having therefore obtained help of God. The verse we looked at a while ago, it says, I labored more than they all. No, not really. It was the grace of God that was with me. Jesus said, I'm not going to send you as an orphan. I'm not going to send you to have to find your own way and provide your own way. No, I have another comforter. And I'm going to send him with you. You're not going to be an orphan. If you need healing, Paul, he will heal you. If you need guidance, he will guide you. He's going to bring you my mind to you so that you're not an orphan. The way Paul says it here, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day. Continue doing what? Witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, and we could go on. Now this grace of God, when Paul says over there at the verse we looked at a while ago, he says, by the grace of God I am what I am. Well, what was he? He was an apostle. You talk about the grace of God. Let me ask you, as we just now read this, his experience on the road to Damascus, what good works did Paul do to save himself? Let's see, I'm on my way to kill Christians. Or at least arrest them and bring them back so they can be in stand trial so they can be killed. Not exactly what we normally advise on how to get saved. If anyone understands the grace of God, and Paul in another letter says, God chose me as an example. Basically, if I can be saved, anybody can be saved. I persecuted the church unto death, and still God's grace came and changed me from a persecutor to an apostle. Glory to God. All right, now here's another thing. Did Paul get to choose his own calling? I think I want to pastor a nice little church. I think I'm called to Hawaii, especially in February in Oklahoma. Nothing against Hawaii. We love you in Hawaii. I know they get the message too. But you understand what I'm getting at. You don't get to choose. Look at how this works. Here's a Lord check now. Who is Lord? Is it you? No. Who is it? Say it loud. There's people here. Come on. Jesus. He saves you. You owe him everything. He tells you your place in his body. Don't you love it when Dave is teaching about the hand and the foot? How the foot has somewhat against the hand? You know, the foot says, I don't know why I have to be the foot. I mean, look at the hand. You put jewelry on the hand. You put lotion on the hand. The hand gets to greet everybody as you go about your business, you know, has fellowship. What about me? You stuff me in a sock. I'm lucky if I get the bottom of a shower once in a while. And I want you to know I bear the weight of this ministry, and you could lose a few, you know. I am a good student, am I not? Does a chicken have lips? Anyway, does a snake have hips? Is a bullfrog watertight? Hallelujah. I'm a good student. You don't get to choose whether you're a hand. The prophet doesn't get to choose to be a prophet. The ones I'm pretty sure are not prophets are the ones that make you call them prophets. Those are the ones I'm most suspicious of, you know. You must address me as Apostle so-and-so. I will. Doesn't me. You can call me a Chevy. Doesn't make me a car. You know? Let's look at this grace of God. Grace of God is first, He saves you when you don't deserve it. He saves you in spite of all your badness. He saves you because He has to save you or you can't make it. And it's all His grace. You didn't earn none of it. What we deserve is hell. Get it straight. We're more depraved than we think we are. I thank God for that day He gave me that little vision, you know. Yes, sir. I wasn't going to do that. He showed me that this morning. I didn't want to do it then. The hardest people to get saved are those are moral people. In other words, I think they're okay. They don't even think they're lost. He showed me a vision one time about the real fall of man. And I know it's not really like this, but He showed me in the vision so that I could understand better His grace. See, we read Genesis and what happened there, and we see Adam and Eve going over and covering themselves, you know, with fig leaves. And you know, whatever image we have of that, we don't see them changed very much, even though we know that the instant they sinned, death entered into them. Well, one time when I was praying about that, He showed me this little mini vision. And I know it wasn't really like this. Again, He's trying to teach me. And what I saw was not just... what I saw was when man fell. I mean, suddenly what I saw in this vision, he was like a three-eyed monster. Skin was all green and deformed in every way you can think. And mouth was misshapen and drool coming out the side. And you know, and he came out, and it was Adam. He was coming out from behind the bush, you know, and I'm not trying to imitate anything. This is the way I saw it. Just this maniacal look in his eye. And he comes around from behind the bush going, can you picture this green-skinned, hunchback, bent over, slobbering, drooling, three-eyed monster with tentacles coming out its head going, can't you just forgive me? And God goes, we've got a little bigger problem. You are not the way I made you. You are not the same that I made you. I'm not going to just forgive you and leave you like you are. I want to put you back into the image of my Son. It's His image. It was Him that breathed life into you in the first place. In the beginning was the Word. All things were made by Him, and without Him was nothing made that was made. It was Christ who breathed that life into Adam's nostrils. That's the image that came into man, and that's the image God's going to conform us back to. He loves us too much to leave us like we are.
Hallelujah.
Thank God. That's good news. Amen. That's good news. Well, the part I didn't mind telling you that part. It's this next part. Because I can't do like Dave and say, I saw this through a Radio Shack window. I actually went to the movie, okay? I went to the movie. I'm not pushing this movie, but I'll tell you what it was. It was Apocalypto by Mel Gibson. And it was about this ancient Mayan culture and what happened to it. But there was this one scene in there that really helped me understand part of man's problem, understanding the real grace of God. I mean, this is back, you know, whenever the Mayans were really in their heyday. And they had the pyramids, you know, the kind they built. And what was amazing in this culture, now these are very, you'd call them almost, I mean, they were savage people. And in the movie, though, there was, even in that day, there was all different classes. You know, you had your slaves who worked in the rock quarries. You had your kings. And then you had your elite. And what was, this one scene, it showed the slaves are, they're carrying these two ladies in a, what do you call one of those, on their shoulders, there's bamboo, there's poles, and there's this, kind of a litter, but held up on the shoulders. And they're transporting these elite ladies. They had bones in their nose. They had tattooed faces, you know, all these tattoos. They were grotesque, savage looking people. But in their minds, They had this proud look. They were so sophisticated. And us watching them from our generation, looking back through a window of time in this movie, we're going, lady, you're just not near as sophisticated as you think you are. You know, you would have seen them, this proud and haughty look. I couldn't help but think of Proverbs. One thing the Lord hates is a proud look. And I understood it better than I ever did before. But then it dawned on me how I'm looking at them. God's looking at me. Gary, you think you've come a long way. Gary, we're still in this transformation process. We've healed one eye. Two tentacles are gone now, but your skin's not quite as dark green as it was before. But the hunchback is straightening, son, but you're not. I wouldn't be thinking more highly of yourself than you ought to think. But see, even in my state, wherever that is, whatever that is, you know what? He so loves me. He is so with me. His Spirit is for me. And He will raise me from the dead if need be to finish my calling as long as I keep my trust in Him. This is why I know God will walk through hell with you. With all of your failings. With all of your shortcomings. He will walk through hell with you. Just so long as you don't start acquiring that proud look. They're carrying you on the rickshaw thing. Yes, I'm just a little better than that one. I'm just a little better than that one over there. And I'm way better than that one. I can judge you and you and you, you know. That's when you're really getting in trouble. Because in the same, they were doing that very thing in that movie. Looking back from our generation, we go, boy, they're not near as far along as they think they are. Well, God's looking at us. He's going, I love you in spite of your faults. My power is for you in spite of your faults. My grace is sufficient for you right where you are. Just keep your trust in me. Don't quit. That's good stuff, isn't it? Well, that's why I so appreciate this message, because before we came here, when I saw this, how Paul... Look, I am going to send you to the Gentiles. What part of that do you not understand? God can talk real straight with you, tell you what your calling is. But before I came here, I didn't know how to hear God's voice. I just, to be honest with you, I just assumed, kind of, I know part of it was probably the denomination I grew up in and just my basic temperament, how I am. I just assumed I'd be a pastor someday, pastor church myself. Took praying in the Holy Ghost a long time for Him to get that mystery across to me. And you can call me Pastor Gary, it doesn't make me one. People call me pastor all the time, it's okay. I'm still not one. I'm a teacher in the body. He told me what I am. So you don't get to choose. And I'm happy about that now. I'm happy about that. What I want to do my whole life is pray and obey. Thank God He simplified it for us. Yeah, but I don't know what I am. Well, I sent you somebody who does. His name's the Holy Ghost. Yeah, but I know you would answer my prayer if I knew what to pray. Well, when you don't know what to pray as you ought, the Spirit Himself makes intercession for you according to the perfect will of God. Oh. So even though I don't know what I am, I don't know what my calling is, I don't know how, I don't know whether I should marry this one, that one, I don't know if I'm in the right job or the wrong job. I don't know if you call me full-time, part-time, or in-between time. You mean you really didn't leave me as an orphan? And I can just yield myself over to this other comforter you've sent, this Holy Spirit. And I don't have to intellectually understand it to be able to pray it. I can just let the Holy Spirit begin making intercession. And by your grace, you'll get me from where I am. to where you want me to be? God, I wish there was a church that preached a message like that. Wait a minute. This is that church. Wednesday night, I went up to get the microphone. Derek was up there. And I'm putting on the microphone again to come do a service, you know. And I said to Derek, Derek, you do know that I just intended on attending this church. Never in my wildest dreams did I dream I'd be preaching like I do from here. Never in my wildest dreams did I think I'd go to Poland and Africa and Korea and do all of the things that he's done. Where was all that knowledge? It wasn't in my mind. It was in his mind. And the Holy Ghost, you talk about God's grace, yes, sir. You talk about God's grace to so simplify it. Yes. Hebrews 4, verse 16. It's one of my favorite verses anyway. This is my favorite verse today. In this hour of today. Did you notice how Paul worded that back there? He said, but God helped me. Do you ever need help from God? Boy, this is your verse right here. Let us therefore, and if we had time to go what's therefore, we could go all the way back through this. Jesus, basically, it's because Jesus paid the price, so we could. But let us therefore come boldly. Boldly. Don't be ashamed. To come to the throne of what? The throne of grace, not works. Come to the throne of grace, and you're going to get two things now when you come, every time. Trust me, you need both things. You can't get one without the other. What are you going to get first? Mercy, that we may obtain mercy. By definition, mercy is what you get when you're guilty. Mercy. Isn't that what mercy is? You don't need mercy if you're not guilty. You don't need mercy if you didn't do it. Okay? The analogy he gave me to help me understand this is like, I saw in my mind one of those little teaching visions, and I saw myself and a bunch of other kids playing baseball out in the backyard of the house. We weren't intending to do anything wrong. We were just little kids playing baseball. And accidentally, I hit a foul ball, and ball went through the neighbor's window, it was an upstairs window, and broke out the window. Did I do it? Yes, I did it. I'm guilty. So in the vision, my dad comes. What's an explanation? Well, one thing my dad taught me, don't lie about it, boy. You get twice the whooping for lying. See, and that's what God wants. We could teach on backsliders today. He says, listen, I will abundantly pardon. Only you come and acknowledge before me what you did. Say, he'll pardon. Well, anyway, in this vision, the first thing, I explained what it was. I told exactly the truth. And in the vision, my dad says, okay, I forgive you. It's all right. See, that's mercy. If it had stopped there, though, the window's still broken and I still am responsible. But see, no father, no parent expects his 5 or 6 year old son to be able to climb up on a second story and reglaze a window. So what does he say? All right, now, I'm going to teach you. I'm going to instruct you, my father would say in this vision. Here, change how you're playing in the backyard. Face this direction, and you're not likely to do that again. See, he's going to help me that way. But he says, now you and your friends go play. Daddy's going to fix the window. Now, that's grace to help. That's more than mercy. That's grace to help. Yes, sir. If we had time, previews of coming attractions. See, in another place, Paul talking about the grace of God that was with him. He talks about defending his apostleship a little bit. He says, we're not the signs of an apostle wrought in your midst. Signs and wonders, healings. Now, for that to happen, he has to be co-laboring with somebody. That person's name is the Holy Spirit. we have not been left orphans. The grace of God that was with me is with you too. We have to become a group of people where the phrase, I can't, is not part of our vocabulary anymore. Stand to your feet for a minute. We're going to close now. Just say this, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I have the nature of Christ on the inside of me. He helps me. And I have the grace of God with me. And God helps me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I will find out my call. I will walk in my call. And I'll finish my call by the grace of God. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Amen.